Man, you be seated. Good morning. Morning. Good to be here today. It's always good to come together and encourage each other each week. But this, really the last 2 weeks have been heavy weeks, haven't they? To be honest, it's been, this last week, have been a week that's left many of us without words to say, but we're left with hearts that are aching over sin and hate and violence, and hearts that ache for families that lost loved ones. A couple weeks ago, we had someone go into a house of worship and commit acts of violence. 2 weeks ago, we had a hateful act in Buffalo where people lost their lives because of how they looked, image bearers of God, right? This week, 2 fourth grade teachers and 19 children, their lives just taken. Evil exists, church. I'm blessed to be with you guys today so that we can live out what 1 Thessalonians says, that we are to encourage one another and build one another up, and so that I hope that we can do that this week. But even in the midst of tragedy, the Bible is full of promises from God. Two of them seem fitting and proper for these last couple weeks. Psalm 34:18 says this, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit." And then one more from Psalm 62. King David is facing hardship and adversity and even enemies. And he says in the midst of that, "Trust in him, trust in God at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge." And so, church, I want to ask that we just draw near to God, pour out our hearts to him this morning. And let's pray for those who need to know that the Lord loves them and is near to them. Let's pray for families and friends to experience the peace and comfort that only God can provide. And church, I just want to remind us, when there is tragedy, we have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with this dark world around us, to be the light for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we know that you loved us because while we were still sinners, Jesus came and died for us. God, we live in a world where there is darkness and sin and hatred. But God, you came to bring light into the world. And so God, we pray, Lord, for those families that have been affected over these last couple weeks, families that are waking up to empty rooms and empty beds, families that are fearful. God, be near to them. Lord, our nation needs you, and we need to turn to you, and we pray, Lord, that we as your church, we as Christians, would be the light that you've called us to be your ambassadors, to take your gospel, your good news, that even though we live in this dark and evil world, there is light that's eternal, that will change their life, make them new, and promise them a home for eternity with you. So God, we pray, Lord, that you would use us in the midst of darkness and tragedy to shine your light. Be with these families as they walk through this difficult time. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, church, as a church family, we've been walking through the New Testament book of James. That's one thing that we like to do at our church, is walk through verse by verse books of the Bibles. Periodically, we'll tackle a topic or a subject that we're walking through. We're going to be tackling one here in a couple months, just where we're focusing on prayer, but dissecting God's Word and seeing what God's Word says about prayer and being dependent on Him. But we've been walking through the New Testament book of James. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been in chapter 4, where James has been teaching us that when we come to know Christ, that we are saved from our sins, we are forgiven by Jesus from our sins, but until we are with Him for eternity, we're still going to have a battle. We're still going to struggle. We're still going to wrestle with temptation and sin, and we're going to continue to wrestle with the desire to pursue the things of this world. And so James tells us that when we are in this struggle, we can experience victory over the battle of sin and the world He tells us how we can do that, how we can have victory through Jesus. He tells us in verse 7 that we're to submit to the Lord, that we're to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And then he tells us that we looked at this last week, that we're to draw near to God. We looked at last week at verses 8 through 10 to see what it looks like to draw near to God, to be humble before God, and then to trust him completely. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to pull that up on our Facebook page, our website, our YouTube, wherever you want to pull that up at. But this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, where James is going to get specific about a particular sin that we often struggle with. So go ahead and turn there, James chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. James has been talking about the fact that we wrestle with sin and temptation, but here in these two verses, James is going to get specific about one particular sin, a sin that we can be so easy, it's so easy for us to fall into, but it's a sin that also causes a lot of pain and destruction. And to be honest with you, this is something in our culture and often within the church and in our own lives that we can downplay this sin that he is talking to us about. And so we're going to talk about that as we walk through this passage. So let's look to God's word together. Would you guys honor God with me and let's stand to honor him and his word. And we're going to read this passage together. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Here's what God's word says to us this morning. He's talking to believers here. He says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" Church, you can be seated. James begins this section of scripture by saying two very important words. He says the words, "do not," right? So before we go any further, because all the scripture is God-breathed, right? Because it's always true. It doesn't really matter what we think about what he says next, right? What God's word says next. Because whatever it is, whatever comes after the words, "do not," God is saying, "don't do it." In fact, the meaning to this Greek phrase, "do not," is pretty clear. It carries the meaning to never do something, right? In many uses of this word, it also means to deny the thought of doing something. So, you know, if you ever said to someone, "hey, don't do this, but Charles, don't even think about doing it," right? That's what he's saying here, right? I got to say that to Charles a lot, you know, so just, yeah. We're going to have a prayer gathering for him afterwards, but no, I'm just kidding, man. But, you know, church, that's what he's saying. Don't do this. Don't ever do this. And don't even think about doing this. Here's why this is important. Because if we're honest, when we read God's word, and the God's word will say, "hey, don't do this," or he'll say, "do something," right? But he'll say, "hey, I don't want you to do this." And you know what we find ourselves doing? We find ourselves really good at becoming Bible studiers at that moment, because then we're looking for a loophole, right? Or we're looking for some fine print, right? Or some, so that we can do whatever it is. Parents and teachers, grandparents, if you work with children, you're gonna amen this part. You'll say something to your kids, right? "Hey, don't do this." And many times they follow up with, "but mom, what about this?" Or, "what if this happens," right? Or, "can I do it if?" I got two kids. Two of them, right? The younger one, not so much. But two of them is like, "can I do it if," right? But God uses James here to say, Christians, never do this. So what is it? Do not. Never do this. Don't even think about this. Do not speak against one another, brethren. To speak against, the phrase "to speak against" comes from one Greek word, katalaleo. It's a little hard to say, katalaleo, but it means to speak evil or to slander someone, right? That's when we speak badly. Is that proper English, babe? Badly? Can we do that? It's when we speak badly about someone or tell lies about someone as to damage them or their reputation. In other words, it's speaking about someone in a way that is not helpful and does not build them up. Young people, that's when we are talking to our friends or our teachers in a way that will hurt their feelings or bring them harm or cause other people to tease them, right? That's he's saying, God is saying, young people, God is saying, don't do that. When we think about the word slander, When we speak in slanderous ways, we need to know something, church. We need to know that slander talk can kill relationships. We need to know that speaking slander can kill marriages. It can kill families. It can destroy church families. So James says, Christians, do not ever speak against, do not speak slander or speak evil against one another. And that phrase, one another, is also important for us to know. When we see that phrase, one another, used in the Old Testament, it is always used to refer to God's people, right? It's referred to the church. It's referred to how we address one another here. It's talking about Christians. And so James is saying, and this is the big truth for us today, do not speak or even think about speaking in a slanderous way or in an evil way against one another, against another follower of Jesus. On your notes, on the back of your bulletin, that's the first and the main truth for us today. God's word is telling us very clearly, it is never acceptable for a follower of Jesus to slander or to speak evil against another follower of Jesus. We could kind of close up our Bibles and go home after that, couldn't we? We're not going to, right? I still got a lot of time left. But it is never acceptable for a follower of Jesus to slander or to speak evil against another follower of Jesus. Christians, let me help you out. I've studied the Bible on this. There's no loophole. There's no, yeah, but. There's not another way to interpret. It's simply don't do it. Amen? And church, this is one of those truths that we probably believe. We're like, yeah, that's a good idea. We shouldn't do that. But all of us, I would dare say, have been guilty of this at one point or another. Some people struggle with it a lot. And just think about how churches across the world would change, how all of us would be so much better, so much more effective if we lived out this one simple thing. Church, do we realize how much it would change a church's fellowship and mission and relationships amongst Christians if we lived this one truth out? To never, as a Jesus follower, slander or speak evil against one, another follower of Jesus. Guys, when God tells us, hey, I want you to do this. Justin, I want you to do this. He tells us that because it's good for us. It's good to glorify Him. It's good for the church. He knows it's what's best for us. But when God tells us, hey, don't do something, He's not telling us that so that we like miss out on fun. He's telling us that because it's harmful. It's harmful for our relationship with God. It's harmful for us as an individual. It's harmful for our relationships and for the church. And God is saying here very clearly, do not talk this way about others because it is not good for them and it's not good for you. When we think about what this looks like practically to slander or to talk evil against someone, it's talking about them or saying things that are false about them. But church, it can also be saying things that are true. If we say things in a way or speak to people about someone in a way that's meant to harm them. We can slander and speak evil against one another quietly through our whispers, through private emails and text messages, right? It can also be done publicly in front of others. It can be done online. Church, when God told James to write this, it's almost as if He knew that we were going to be reading this passage in the year 2022 and that we would have social media today. Because too much of what we read online, especially on social media, church, is Christians attacking one another and speaking evil against and slandering one another. We say things, hear me out clearly, young people, don't miss this. We say things about people through our text messages, through emails, on social media that we would never say to their face. Are you with me, church? That's a big problem in our culture today. But behind our phones and our keyboards, it is somehow acceptable for us to do. Young people, don't miss this. What you say about people in person, behind their back, or online, if it is going to hurt them, harm them, tear them down, don't type it, don't say it. Because the Bible says, church, it is never acceptable for you or me to speak about a brother or sister in Christ in a way that's harmful to them. There's no fine print. There's no other way of interpretation. It wasn't just for their culture. Those are three things that we like to say, right, whenever we're like, oh, but that was just for them. No, it's for you. It's for me. James simply says, Christians, don't speak against one another. And it's not just something that we see here in James. We see this in other parts of the Bible, but I want to look at just one. It's, in fact, all over Scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says it. Look at the passage with me on the screen. He's saying this to the church of Ephesus, to Christians, to Jesus followers. And he says this, he says, no foul language. The word foul language, you might actually have in your translation, unwholesome talk or corrupting words, right? All of those words mean this, rotten. No rotten language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. When James is writing, he's telling us to never, back in James, he's telling us to never speak this way about another Christian or against another Christian. He says, don't do it against one another, brethren. The word brethren is talking about the family of God. It implies brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are saved today and you're talking to another saved person, they are your brother or sister in Christ. But here in Paul, in Ephesians, when Paul says it, he's talking in general. He says it doesn't matter who you're talking to or about. No words should ever come out of a Christian's mouth that are rotten, but only words that build up and give grace. And so if we are followers of Jesus, this is for us. This should be true of us always, that our words are to be used to build someone up and not tear them down. Words that give grace and not harmful to them, so, to those that we speak about. I'm going to take you guys back a little bit, or maybe you guys are in this stage as parents right now, but I remember getting a talking to from my parents. Anybody ever get a talking to from their parents? Probably not my wife, right? She was always pretty good. But I'd get a talking to from my mom, especially about how we talk to other people. Anybody get that? Right? And we always had these little things mom would say, right? There were times when mom would sit us down and she would address how I talk to all people, right? She would say, hey, you don't use those words. You don't say that to people, right? You don't use that kind of language when you're talking to people. But then there were also times when she would address how I talked with my siblings. Now, if you knew my siblings, you know I would give them a hard time and talk to them this way. I'm just kidding. She's not in here. She's in kids' life. But this is what James is doing, right? So it's, you know, Sam, hey, don't talk to anybody this way. We don't talk that way. But every now and then, you got to get your kids together and say, hey, we don't talk to one another like that, right? Don't talk to your sister like that. Don't talk to your brother like that. And so James is having that talk with the family. Remember, my wife would always say that her parents would get together and they would have family meetings, right? They're having a family meeting, a family discussion. So we're never to talk to someone in a way that tears them down, but we're also not to speak to one another, right? Even right here at Authentic Life Church, right? To other Christians, to Christians on social media, we're supposed to talk with them in a way that will pour grace out onto them or that will build them up. And so that leads us to the next question, why? Right? Why is it such a big deal? Why should we never do this? Why should we not talk in a way that is slanderous or speaks evil against one another? The first one is simple. Because God's word says never to do it. Right? There's some times when I'm talking to my kids, right? And then mom will tell them something. And then, you know, one of my kids will say, but why? And I'm like, because mom said so. That's why. Are you with me, church, right? And that's what we have right here. Verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. Sister, right? Don't speak against one another. We don't need to overcomplicate it, right? God says, don't do it. And church, we could actually, again, just finish right there, and it should be enough for us. It should be enough for us to hear from the voice of God, from His word, where He says, don't do something, and we stop doing it. But we're not that easy, are we? We're a little more complicated. So God's going to give us a few more things of why we shouldn't do this way. But I want us to look at this whole idea of just obeying God. In James chapter 1, James introduces himself. In case you're not familiar, James is the half-brother of Jesus. Joseph and Mary were his parents. He was raised up with Jesus. He had rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior until Jesus rose again, and then he trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. If I was writing a book of the Bible, I would put it in there. My name is James. I'm the half-brother of Jesus. You better listen up, right? I mean, pull a little bit of clout right there. But James doesn't do that. James doesn't do that at all. James says he introduces himself as a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? James is saying that I am James and I am willingly submitting myself to respect and follow and trust the Lord. And guys, we're called to do the same. If you're trusting Jesus, he's Lord of your life, right? So because of who Jesus is, we trust him and obey him. Chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, submit therefore to God, right? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And so we see here that James says, submit to God, right? Submit to the Lord, obey him. And here, God's word is telling us, it's not good for you. It's not good for the other person. It's sinful. It's harmful to the body of Christ. So why do we not speak evil and slander? Because God's word says, do not speak against one another. Don't do it. So that's the first answer to why, because God said so. Number two is this, we don't speak against one another because these words come from a judgmental heart. These words come from a judgmental heart. Look back to verse 11 with me. James says, he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. Church, when we say words that are harmful about one another, we are revealing what is in our hearts. You ever heard the phrase, if it ain't in you, it can't come out of you? Right? You can't open up a can of Dr. Pepper and Sprite doesn't come out no matter how much you want it to do, right? Are you with me, guys? Right? If it's not in you, it can't come out of you. And so when we, whatever comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our heart. And you don't have to take my word for it because Jesus says in Matthew 15:18, he says, but what comes out of the mouth comes from where, church? Comes from the heart and defiles a person. Jesus is saying what comes out of your mouth gets its start in your heart. And so James is saying that when we speak slanderous and evil words against one another, it is revealing sin and thoughts that are already in your heart. Here's what that means. When we speak this way about someone or to another person, we have already placed judgment against them in our hearts. We've already condemned them in our hearts. We have said in our hearts, you have not lived up to my standards. You've fallen short of what I think you should do. And in our hearts, we have placed ourselves and acted as both judge and jury. And so when we're speaking in this way toward one another, we have already judged them in our hearts. Look at what James says in verse 11. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law, right? The law of God and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. And that leads us to our next reason, church. We should never, ever speak slander or evil against one another. Why? Because God says don't do it. Two, because it reveals a judgmental and sinful heart. And three, because it dishonors God. Right? Verse 11 says that when we do this, we're not only sinning, we're not only revealing a judging heart, but we're dishonoring God by speaking against the law of God. We've placed ourselves as judge of his law. We're deciding in our hearts that it's not necessary for me to follow his law and his word. Because church, when we speak in this way, in a way that tears others down or hurts them, we're saying that it's not necessary for me to love my neighbor in the way that I speak. You should follow the law. You should live up to my standard, but I don't have to live up to this one. It's not necessary for me to do that. God has said, do not do this, do not slander, do not speak evil against one another, but instead speak words that build up and not destroy. God tells us that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we see things like that all throughout Scripture. But when we decide to speak in this hurtful way, we are dishonoring God by saying, God, I don't have to follow your command. I don't have to follow your command. We're dishonoring God by also trying to take his place. And that leads us to verse 12. Look at what James says here. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you who judge your neighbor? Church, God is the one who gave the law, amen? Right, it's his law. He's the one who gave us his word of God. He is the one who gets to decide how people are judged, and our hearts, because we're submissive to God, are to be in line with what he says. Church, we can trust God to have the final say. God doesn't need our permission. He doesn't need to check in with us. Doesn't have to have us a roundtable discussion with us, right? Now, let me be clear about something. Too often, we as Christians walk around and say to one another in the church family when they're trying to help or speak into our lives, hey, don't judge me. Or we use this passage out of context to try to say that other Christians cannot speak into your life. That's not what this passage is saying. Right? When we find ourselves saying things like, see, the Bible says you can't judge me. Not only is that not what it's saying, but the intent that's usually behind when we say that is, who are you? Right? You don't get to speak into my life. You don't get to talk to me about my sin. Church, that's not what this passage is saying. Let's just get clear about that. This passage is talking about Christians, about speaking sinfully to someone in a way or about someone that is harmful to them. James is saying our words are not to tear them down or to hurt someone. Don't slander. Don't speak don't speak evil against anyone, even if what you think you're saying is true. And sometimes, church, I think we like to, I'm going to come back to that moment here in a second, but I think sometimes we like to over-spiritualize this, right? Or we try to spiritualize our sin, right? We try to spiritualize this type of talk by saying things like, hey, I'm going to tell you about so-and-so. But it's so you can pray for them. Come on, church. When we do that, often the intent in our heart is to gossip about them or to make you look better than them. Or tell the other person, I don't think so-and-so is living up to my standards. But church, let me be clear. The scripture is crystal clear about this. That in the church family, hear me clearly, we do have a responsibility to speak truth into someone's life in a loving and God-honoring way. So please don't use this passage to say, you can't judge me when a Christ follower is trying to help you follow Jesus. You don't get to say that. Amen? I don't get to say that. Because Jesus himself tells us that we are to speak into one another's life in a loving and proper and biblical way. Jesus wants us to lovingly, respectfully, and graciously speak his truth into someone's life with love. And so if we see a brother or sister in Christ that we love and we see them living in a sinful way that is harmful to them or their family or relationship or the church, the Bible tells us that we are to go to that person with a loving heart. Church, with the intent to forgive them, with the intent so that they can be restored and reconciled, to have reconciliation between a brother or a sister. So let me be very clear, because we're going to read a passage here in a second that's going to tell us how to go and do this. But if you cannot go to another brother or sister in Christ with this kind of heart, don't do it. Amen? If you can't have love and reconciliation and forgiveness in your heart, then get your own heart right before you try to go to another Christian. In fact, the Bible tells us to do that. Before you go get the splinter out of Sam's eye, get the log out of your own eye. Get your own heart right before God, before we go and talk to another brother or sister in Christ. Church, when I go and do that with someone in our church, like, man, those are tough conversations, but I have a responsibility to have a tough conversation with God about my own heart first. And guess what happens? When I go and talk to God about my own sin, I get to receive his grace and his forgiveness and his love and his mercy. And then when we go and talk to Sam about, sorry, Sam, you're the sinner now, right? When we go talk to Sam about he's really good, actually, right? I'm gonna share that same experience with him and share the grace with him. But Jesus lays out for us the way that we're to speak into others' lives. This isn't the only place in Scripture for this where we see our responsibility, but it's Jesus talking, so we should look there. Amen, church? Right, Jesus lays out for us the proper way to go to one another. Here's what he says in verse 15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. I don't see anywhere to gossip or to share something on social media or to get on the phone call or have a parking lot committee, right? He says in private. If you've been in church for a while, you know what parking lot committees are, unfortunately, right? If he or she listens to you, you have won your brother. There's a heart of forgiveness and reconciliation, church. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And guess what? They're to have the same heart. The same heart of love and forgiveness and restoration.
And then if he or she refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And then there's more on there about how all of that happens. But the idea here, church, is you're going to go at that step to your pastor or your life group leader or someone that you trust within the church and then handle this as a church level. Are you with me, guys? But the whole heart behind this is you want to see them walk with Jesus. The heart of this passage is always love. It's always restoration. It's always reconciliation. It's always to build up and speak grace into their life. It's never to tear them down or to hurt them. I've had people come to me and then they come and say, Jeff, you okay? You in a good place? Oh boy, what did I do now? Right? But I knew this brother loved me. And he would speak into my life in a way that was good for me. So even though sometimes the truth is hard, we still need it. Are you guys with me, church? Right? Okay. And so we have to honor God with how we speak truth and love to one another. So let's never use this passage and these words for Jesus to get our way or to hurt someone. That's sin, church. But let's never dishonor God and dishonor Jesus and his words by speaking in a way that hurts someone or it shows that we are above God's command. We dishonor God when we speak evil against or slander one another. So let me recap. James says this, don't ever, for any reason, slander or speak evil against one another. I want to help us out with something. Even if they vote on the other side of the aisle. Y'all heard me, right? Even if they're a Raiders fan or Chiefs fan. That's for you, Charles, man. Are you with me, church? Sometimes, remember, there's no reason for us to talk this way, no matter what it is. By the way, I just got a call. Caleb, man, we're supposed to go to our brother. I had this man. He helped me with my computer. And you know what he did to me? This is free, church. This isn't even in the notes. You know what he did to me? He fixed my computer. Praise God. It was great. But then my password that he put in, I'm a Chiefs fan from Kansas City. He put Go Raiders as the password. And brother, I don't know how to change it, okay? Goodness. Don't ever for any reason do that to your... No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it says. Don't ever for any reason slander or speak evil against one another because God clearly tells us not to, because it reveals a sinful and judging heart, and because it dishonors God. And then the last one is this. Because it damages... Church, don't miss this. It damages the reputation of Jesus to a lost world. As Jesus' followers, our aim is to be more and more like Jesus. It's to be his ambassadors in this world. That's why we, and Jessica and I moved to Tucson to plant a church right here so that we could be his ambassadors to tell people about him. Amen, church? Right? That's why when we are saved, we're not taken up to heaven because we're to represent Jesus to a lost world. And when we are speaking in this way to one another or about one another, we are not representing who Jesus is. And the world is watching and listening. We've got to be aware of that, church. We need to be honest with ourselves and ask, is the way I'm talking to or about this brother or sister in Christ, does it honor Christ? Set yourself aside. Does it honor Christ? Does it represent who Jesus is and the life that he's called me to live? Look with me to a passage in John chapter 13. Here Jesus is teaching and he's talking to his 12 disciples, his apostles, and he's teaching them to serve one another and to love one another. And he's telling them about his upcoming death and resurrection. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 34. He says, I give you, this is for you and I give you a new command. Love one another. Church, loving one another wasn't the new command. This next part is, just as I have loved you, you're also to love one another. Why? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, our love for one another is to be God's love for us poured out of us into the other person. Let me be clear. You cannot love someone in this way unless God has first loved you in this way, unless you've received that love for him. But our love for one another within this church is to point people to Jesus. I loved growing up with my family in Kansas City. We were messed up. We were crazy. We were loud. We were obnoxious, right? Amen, Jessica, right? Sam. But guys, people wanted to be a part of our family because we loved each other well. We protected each other. We stood up for each other. Our love for one another is to point people to Jesus. It's to show a lost world how much Jesus loves us. But when we have a condemning heart and we speak evil against one another, not only are we disobeying Jesus and dishonoring God, but we're not loving one another in front of a watching world. Husbands, love your wives in front of your watching eyes of your little children. Because when they grow up, more than likely, they will love their wife like you loved yours. Are you hearing me? Right? We live in front of a watching world. Wives, same thing, right? And that's what we're talking about here, right? The world is watching. How do they love one another, right? We were first loved by Jesus, and we're to love one another in that way. Not like we love Snicker bars, right? But how Jesus loved us. How we love one another is to show the world the love of Jesus. But when we don't love in this way, when we slander, when we speak evil against one another, we are showing the world. Church, you got to hear me on this one. When we're sinful in the way we talk to one another, we are showing the world that either Jesus didn't love us well, which is not true, or we're showing the world that we don't believe what Jesus said. Either way, when people see us, when the lost world sees us, does our love for one another advance the gospel and give them a good picture of the love of Jesus? Does your life do that? Or the way you talk, does it harm the advancement of the gospel and does it damage Jesus' reputation? What we say to one another and how we say it matters. How we love one another, it matters. And the world is watching. And they're watching much, much closer than they ever were before now that we got social media. And I'm going to tell you, church, when 2020 hit, the church didn't look all that good on social media on how we talk to each other. When the political season hit, the church didn't look all that good on how we talk to one another. Are you with me, church? The world is watching. So that's why James says it's never acceptable for a follower of Jesus to slander or speak evil against another follower of Jesus. As we close, I want us to see one final truth from verse 12. This is what it says. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. Here's the final truth for us on the back of your notes, church. Jesus gets the final say, not you and I, right? And he alone is able to save those who turn to him. No matter what you've done, hear me out, no matter what you've done, no matter what anyone else has said about you, one day we will all stand before God and he has the final say. And God promises, don't miss this, if you're online, don't miss this, God promises us that if we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we believe in Jesus and surrender to Jesus, then we are immediately forgiven, that we are saved from all of our sins and adopted into the family of God. So please don't miss this. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Jesus gets the final say, and he's already made a promise that if you confess, no matter the sin, if you confess that he is Lord and believe in your heart that you needed to be saved from your sins, that he died and rose again, the Bible says you will be saved. Come on, church. If you've not already done this, how will you respond to Jesus? Jesus says, I see your sin. Right? He says, I came and I lived the life you couldn't live. I died in your place and I rose again so that you could be with me forever. I see your sin. I came to save you from your sin. How will you respond to Jesus? We'll come back to that in a moment. Followers of Jesus, there is enough hate and evil in this world. Let's not miss what God is teaching us this morning. We are to love one another as he has loved us. We're to use the mouth and the tongue that he gave us to speak life, to speak truth, to speak in a way that builds one another up and to speak grace into one another. Not to speak in a way that slanders or hurts one another. Church, I want to give us an opportunity to respond. I'd ask you and myself, we need to ask God to seek our heart. Do we speak this way? And if you do, we're probably aware if we have, right? Confess that to God. This is a great time to do that. Confess it to God. If you're wrestling with that, ask God to help you and lead you and change your heart in this area, church. Let's ask God to reveal if our heart and our tongues are honoring God or misrepresenting Jesus to a lost world. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. While he plays, go ahead and just have that moment with God with your eyes closed and just focus on him and just say, God, where am I at in this? Am I sinning against you? Am I dishonoring you? If you are, just repent of that. Just turn that over to God and ask him to forgive you and lead you. If you're here today and you said, you know what? People have said lots of things about me that were right and some were wrong. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but it's good to hear to know that Jesus sees my sin and still loves me in the midst of it. That Jesus came and died for me. He died the death I deserved. He paid the price I couldn't pay, and he rose again so I could spend eternity with him. So that one day when we go to heaven, whether we die or whether it's raptured up with the church, whenever we go stand before God, Jesus will say, he's mine. She's mine. They trusted in me. They called me Lord. They believed in me. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I've never been saved. I've never been forgiven by Jesus. I've never been adopted into the family of God. I've never called on Jesus to save him. This is an opportunity right now for you to say, I want to know more about this, Jesus. I would love to respond to Jesus right now. If you're online, just send me an email or put in the comments, Jesus, I'll get a hold of you after church. Just put Jesus. If you're here today, simply slip your hand up and say, you know what? I want to know more about Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I would love to be saved and forgiven by Jesus, the one who gets the final say. Father, as your church, your people, your children seek you right now, God, help us be aware of the way that we speak. Help us be aware of the way our words act. Do they build up or do they tear down? Do they pour out grace or, God, do they hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do they hurt our others in the world? God, help us honor you with how we speak. And God, it doesn't just start with our tongue. It starts in our heart. And so, God, if there's an area for us to repent of in the way that we speak, we pray, Lord, that we would do that now, that you would lead us to repentance. Just confess that to you. God, we're going to worship you. We're going to make much of Jesus. We're going to sing about how much you love us. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you are glorified. God, whether we have good voices or we have bad voices, you love our voice because we're singing to you. So help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen.